Blog Talk Radio.
What a good and pleasant thing it is when brethren dwell together in unity. For where there is unity, there is strength. Glorious and victorious, melodious, miraculous Monday. It is January the 15th, 2024. And you tuned in to the Manner of Speaking, where we give thanks unto the Lord and the power of Christian unity and fellowship, while at the same time we address the very elements, the very concerns of natural life upon this interplanetary domain. And you know something? We're not only just happy and just joyful and exuberant because of the presence of God. That's number one and foremost. We're thankful for him to be in true existence. At the same time, we're giving recognition to great leaders. That's right. We ought to give recognition and respect and consideration to great leaders. Leaders are not always in the forefront. Sometimes they're behind the scenes and doing the layman's work. And I would just like to take this moment, this time, to reflect upon Dr. Martin Luther King. And many of you are out on break today because of the consideration of the recognition of his birthday. And not only was he a great spiritual leader, he was a great civil rights leader as well. So we give thanks to whom thanks is due. We give consideration to whom consideration is due. We're not worshiping that person, but we're acknowledging the good that that person did. That's right. And we know that none is good but the Father, but when good gifts, great gifts, manifest, we have to be willing to reflect upon those things. And let me tell you something. This day in society is very questionable as it relates to giving consideration and respect to those who merit such an honor. You know, we oftentimes overlook, neglect, and ignore individuals who have put their shoulder to the grindstone and got the work done. And this is where it shows a sense of disrespect. It shows that we don't take into consideration the sacrifices that many individuals have made. And on this day, we're recognizing and acknowledging the sacrifices that Dr. King made. That's right. He could have lived a long and luxurious life and been a 150% present family man. He could have pursued any degree of interest or career and been flourishing in the compository of where he was assigned. But he decided to take on the burden of helping people of ethnicity gain the momentum to stand up for themselves and to use peace as a measure of making change happen. Because we all know for the truth that it is. Only love can conquer hate. And goodness conquers wickedness each and every time. And it's such a wonderful thing that we would even just take that time out to reflect on these things. And I know many people say that the I Have a Dream speech was one of the most eloquent and the most impactful public presentations that ever took place. But I wonder, I really wonder, and ask yourself, even in your chat circle, amongst your family members, your friends, your coworkers, do we really take in true consideration the elements, the verbatim prevalence and presence in that oration? Do we? And being so that we do, how have we helped to manifest that dream? I know some of you are saying we're going in a different direction. Yes, we're opening up the very format of today's lesson. How have we made that dream a reality? Reflect upon yourself. Have you become a kinder and more considerate person? Have you become more generous in your doing and in your giving? The scripture tells us, the book of life tells us, be ye therefore doers of the word, not just hearers only. Oh, anyone can sit there and absorb the very elementation of a powerful speech or oration. Anybody can do that. Anyone can get caught up in emotions and wave their hands and nod their head and even pat their foot. But beyond the setting, the sphere of action, what are you going to do to bring that message to life? You bring it to life by your deeds. Your deeds are your fruits. And you know Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings says, by their fruits you shall know them. So what fruit have you borne forth? Because if you look at yourself, and this is where self-inventory comes in. That's a hard thing to do. You know, we can be circumspect and reflect upon other people around us with no problem. That's easy peasy. That's right. No bones, no thoughts. But all when it comes to circumspecting ourselves, looking at the man or the woman in the mirror, what is the image that we see? Is that image reflective of bearing fruits, the fruits of wholesomeness, the fruits of productivity, the fruits of righteousness? Are we speaking peace in the midst of confusion? Are we attempting to bring quiet to the storms, not only in our lives, but the lives of others around us? Are we attempting to help bridge over those troubled, perplexing waters? Or are we causing the currents to become even more turbulent? We need to ask ourselves these things and reflect back and see how far we have progressed in making that dream a persistent reality. That means that we need to stop going behind the very backs of other people, talking and walking them down. If you see your brethren caught in the midst of a weak hour in his or her life, you say that you're spiritual. You say that I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a change agent. I'm a trendsetter. Well, you know what you need to do? Restore them in a spirit of humility. You're not turning away from what they've done, but you're turning back to see how you could help raise them up. And do it in the spirit of meekness. Your business is nobody's business. And God told us through the witness of Jesus Christ, he says, you do your alms in secret. And he that seeth you in secret will reward you openly. Don't go out there and sound your own horn or direct your own orchestra, attempting to gain the momentum and the retribution of others so that others can acknowledge you. Because God told us again through the witness of Jesus Christ, oh, you have your reward amongst men. Remember you today and forget you tomorrow. But oh, when you do it right, you do it God's way, you'll never fall short and you'll never fall away. That's the truth. So as we're going into today's segment, and I'm so pleased to be able to come to you over the very airwaves of the Blog Talk Radio Network. It's been a very productive presence for so many of us. That's right, who have what it needs and what it has and what it must be done to get the track back where it needs to be, to get others back into the way, into the pathway of walking the walk as they talk the talk. That's right. And as Pastor Paul said, first natural, then spiritual. Sometimes we have to address natural elements of things because these are the little foxes sometimes that destroy and eat away and gnaw at the vines. And once those vines get gnawed, that limb, that branch becomes totally non-productive. And you wonder why I can't seem to get my prayers answered. I can't seem to feel the presence of God's anointing. I can't feel the very essence of the Holy Spirit moving within me. Because some people's very branches have been gnawed away so much. They've committed so much treachery in their flesh, and they feel justifiable to do it because they have a position. God is not concerned with your position. He's concerned with your soul, the well-being of your soul, the cleansing of your spirit, because the aura projects spirit. Your soul is a composition. It's an imprint of whom it is that you are from within. So it's very essential that we address these areas and these things. That's right. And they'll become so heavenly influenced to the earthly realm, you are little or no value. What's easier to go to a person who has been beaten down by the storms of life? Is it easier to say, come to the Lord, come into your spiritual existence and destination, that your past infractions will be removed? Or is it more existential to a natural man or natural woman, if they're hungry, feed them. If they're lacking sufficient clothing, clothe them. If they're lacking sufficient shelter or housing, help to house them. If they're in a financial deficit, help to meet that need. This is what draws people to us. Then once they're drawn to you, you can begin to witness to them about the presence of an almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God who framed the universe. He spoke all things into existence. Then you can present the gift of salvation. And so we have to remember this, because so many of us, we get so zealous. We call up in the spirit of zeal. And we start telling people that they're not right. You're not dressed right. You're not living right. Many of these people have been beaten down enough, and you just give them a further beat down. You'll never captivate those who are seeking truth that way. Because Jesus told us, he says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And when all else failed, the song used to say, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And we have to remember that love is the key that unlocks the door to endless and wonderful possibilities. And I'm just thanking the Lord for you today. Those of you who have joined me here in the continental U.S. of A., or whether you're in Canada, South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Antarctica, where the Spirit of the Lord is, say with me, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. Liberty means the ability to act, think, and express freely without limitations and without fear or reserves. So we have that treasure in our earthen vessel, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And I just thank God for you joining in today. And here is a very powerful psalm that I want you to say with me. We're going to Psalms 100, and we're going to talk about the effectiveness of praise and acknowledgement. That's right. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I mean, all you people, all we the people. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And remember, Jesus said, his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. He said, come into his presence with singing. I mean, come into his presence where you're even in your prayer life. Come with rejoicing, not grueling and grieving and mumbling and complaining, but with rejoicing. Because when the praises go up, the blessings flourish and come down to the interplanetary domain. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That means we belong to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, pasture. You think about sheep in a pasture. That's where they graze. They gain the capacity of their nutrients, of their exercise, of their mobility in that pasture, because the pastor of their souls watches over them. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me too, and others. And into his courts with praise. That means into his kingdom, into our quiet place with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It does not get any better than that. His truth goes forward into all generations. And let me tell you something. When you put God first, you'll never be last. Say with me. When I put God first, he'll make sure I never last. That's right. That's his promise to us. The scripture even tells us, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's right. And God is not slack concerning his promises, and he even told us that his word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And God loves, he watches over his word. When you watch over something, you take skillful and careful consideration to make sure that everything is in alignment with what you said. And the scripture tells us that God watches over his word to perform it. And all he does, and he makes sure it supersedes even our greatest expectations. That's right. We love and we believe in an amazing God. He is amazing. That's right. I mean, amazing means astonishing. We can't comprehend through words, even through expression. He is beyond every level of expression. But we do the best we can with our limitations and our capacities to just give him the praise and the glory that he so well deserves. Even in times like these, we've seen some things that have been literally unbelievable. We've heard about things that have just been beyond our degree of understanding. But Jesus told us these things, that you're going to see the insurrection of false prophets, false teachers, men being lovers of themselves, carried away in their own lust, changing the very natural element of affection that God ordained. Read Romans, the first chapter. Read it. It tells you these things. He said, for this cause, God shall give them over to a reprobate mind. So when you look at these fallen leaders and they're leaving women to go to other elements of fulfillment, that's not a surprise. Read Romans, the first chapter. It says that God will give them over to vile affection because they don't want to change. They believe they have special privy to do what they desire to do. So go to Romans, the first chapter. That's right. And therefore, you're going to see these things happening. But Jesus told us to be of good comfort. He says that he overcame the world. He overcame the society. He overcame the system. And through him, we will do the same because we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. So don't get all taken by all this, these media sentiments that are producing these stories about these people that are supposed to be high profile. First of all, we don't put our trust in man. Man will fail. Woman will fail. Because why? A man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's right. And the scripture also tells us, start getting in that word, the Spirit of God does not always strive for man, for that he is also flesh. That means that sometimes We're not always as spiritually inclinated as we should be. And as a result, we give in to the temptations of the flesh. So wherever you're weak, you need to ask God, because we're not above and beyond falling either, or falling short, or not meeting the fullness of the expectations that he has for us. So we have to ask God for strength. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to be obedient to what he instructs us to do, because we're not beyond reproach. So if we fail, if we fall short, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father who's just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So therefore, we're just going to look to him. Stop looking to mankind. This is where we're falling short. This is how we end up getting into cult situations. We end up getting into various types of demoralizing conduct and behavior because we're not following the Holy Spirit. And the scripture tells us again, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, precious pilgrims. Let's consecrate ourselves according to the word. Okay, we're going to ask that you bow your head and close your eyes for 1 second and pray. Pray not only for God to reveal the power of his word to us through biblical instruction, but to bring peace where there's confusion, to bring healing where there's affliction, to bring prosperity where there's poverty, to clear out the confusion, and let there be peace, let there be harmony, and ask him to perform the miracle that is so well needed here and now. Let's not just only pray for Ukraine and Russia, or just merely pray for our brethren, the Israelites. The first thing people have been coming to me saying, why is it always talking about Israel? Because the Israelites, the Hebrew people, were the first to acknowledge God into the monotheistic faith system, which means one God system. They were the first during the ancient civilization. They were not polytheistic, believing in multiple gods. They did not. So this is the reason why they became the chosen. And we're descendants of spiritual Israel. We're the descendants. So we are the offspring. We are the result of their resilience. So yes, let's pray that the Hamas attacks will soon subside, and there'll be peace between Israel and Palestine, because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the everlasting Father. Thank you, Father God, for just being God. And besides you, there is none other. Intervene on behalf of those who are standing in faith and depending upon you. We say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Excuse me. Sometimes when you're in the midst of so much going on, you're changing into the environment, sometimes those environments can impact you. But nevertheless, we thank God for excellent health. We thank God for his excellent presence. We just thank God for who he is, what he is, and how he is. Amen, amen. Let's go to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Just want to reflect back. And you know something that's really instrumental about the book of Ephesians? Ephesians talks about the elements of love and walking in the spiritual aspect of existence. And you know, and how to balance the imbalancing of the disharmonies of life. And how we have to have the ability to make rightful decisions and choices amid challenges. And this is what's so important about the book of Ephesians. It breaks it down. And that it gives us the ability to speak clearly what is required of us and what we must do to be pleasing to God. And when we're a blessing to God, people will perpetually bless us. He will perpetually anoint us. He will perpetually give us divine favor and victory over every opposing force. Let's go to the third chapter, and we're going to go, and we're going to give consideration to the first verse. For this cause, this is Apostle Paul speaking, you know, he was the second chief apostle in charge. He was considered as the formatting spokesperson, you know, who took that charge that he was given very seriously. The prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. What is he saying? Well, Apostle Paul was admissibly saying that I'm here to represent Jesus Christ as being captive by him, having a first level of account. You remember the road to Damascus when Apostle Paul was getting that decree signed where he was going to persecute believers and close down the various venues in which they were collectively coming together? He designated within his mind he was going to do this because he saw the progression of the movement, and it was too overwhelming. And having a high-level commanding post in the Roman army, he felt as though he was the man to get the job done. But something happened on that road to Damascus. He met Jesus, and he asked him. He didn't see him eye to eye, but he heard his voice. And the voice came from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Now, we all know that he did not lay a hand upon our Messiah. He did not confront him. But when you attempt to disbar, to attack and come against God's people, you're coming against God himself. And no man has ever confronted God or opposed God and lived to tell about it. It's just not going to happen. And when you mess with his people, you're messing with his heart, where you're messing with his dearly beloved children. So he got to meet Jesus on a personal level. And you know something? As a way of constraint, as a way of chastisement, our chastisement, he was smote with blindness. He had to go to Aquila. That's right. He was blind. He had to go to him for prayer and for redemption. So there were some very important and pertinent people that he came in contact with. Many of you think, Aquila and Priscilla, what about Ananias and Sapphira? They helped to educate Paul in the power of God's presence and through his word. It was through them that he received spiritual redemption. He became enlightened. And as a result, he gave his life over to God, and God transformed him into a warrior for the kingdom of heaven. And don't you know there was a lot of believers who were apprehensive of Paul? They were afraid of him. They thought that he might be attempting to you know, cause them to flush out and become public so he would know who to come against. But no, when God changed him, he changed him not so much from the outside in, but from the inside out. He transformed this man, and he became a bold spokesperson and a soldier for the kingdom of heaven. And so that's why he calls himself a prisoner. He's held captive. He's obligated. He has not heard of this dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, word. He says, I know that you haven't heard about this abundance. See, grace is the ability to gain favor, and as though you've been given a cushion. So therefore, if you fall, you won't be hurt. See, grace is like that existential cushion of divine favor, which gives you the, the capacity to overstep various things that are in your way, meant to harm you or denigrate you, but through grace, you steer right past those things and receive divine favor and mercy. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. He said, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby you read ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. He's talking about the mystery of Christ. Is it the mystery? The scripture said, great is the mystery of godliness. But Christ was what? He was born of the flesh. He preached unto the Gentiles. And then he was received up into glory. And the mystery was to those various sects of self-professed believers who couldn't understand that, who believed that the law of Moses gave them the ability to master the kingdom of God. They were ignorant. You know, some of the most ignorant and reviling people, and I know I'm going to get some flack behind this, are people who profess to be believers. You can believe all you want to, but you got to show some evidence of what you believe. Sometimes they're some of the worst people you can come across because they get caught up into what we call a spirit of legalism. Everything is documented through doctrine, through various organizational standards. No. God is a spirit. He's not an organization. He's not a doctrine. God is a spirit, and they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you're trying to get that across to people, that's where the controversy is. That's where the various conflict begins. So he's straightening it out, letting them know, no. It's through the reality of knowing God and through his word that I take on this commission, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, that's why the scripture tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it's by the Spirit. It's not through seminary. It's not through doctrine. It's not through organizational structure. This has to come from within. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and the partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. See, it's his power. This is not our power. And when you see these false apostles, these false leaders telling people, send me this, send me that, give me this amount of money, I'll make a miracle. No, they can't. They can make a mess happen, but not a miracle. Christ never commanded anyone that received his breakthrough anointing, his prayers, his consecration, his miracles. He never charged them. So before you go in talking about who's a true apostle, who's a true pastor, who's a true leader, use the standard of measurement reflective of the word of God. It straightens out all of the conflict. And Jesus never charged anyone anything. He was just simply telling them, according to your faith, not what's in your pockets, not where you live, not how many certifications you have or degrees you have, not by your social affiliations. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's all he said. Faith is the wherewithal for all things great in your life. Because it's the substance of things hoped for and the elements of things not seen. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Read it sometimes. So he's saying here it's because of him. He said, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, as the grace given that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, to come to you, those of you who are yet seeking to find truth, that I come to you wholeheartedly with an humble mind so that I can inform you of what the promises of God are and how the promises of God relate to your here and now situation. Now, mind you of something, listen to this. There was no binary and written text at that time. So everything that the apostles got, that the prophets got, had come straight from God. That's right. Did you not know that there was no written text at that time? Whatever was received had to come from God. And this is what he let them know. This is from God. It's not from Paul. It's from God. So what I'm sharing to you and sharing with you is the abundance of his mercy, the greatness of his presence, the origin of his existence. And this is what we have to reflect upon. There are so many confused people out here who profess to be born again because they're not following the truth. God's word is the truth. It can't be disputed. It cannot be compromised. It is what it is and how it is the way it is, and that settles it. No further discussion needed. And to make all men see what is fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Now, reflect upon something very quickly. Do you remember before mankind was made? Remember God spake and he said, let us make man in our own image. He said, let me make man in my own image. He said, let us. Well, that Jesus Christ was there. Did you know that? Yes. Jesus even spake and said, when some said, who are you? He said, even asked the apostles. They were stunned. That's why Peter became the chief apostle. He said, thou art Christ, Son of the living God. He received that revelation. And some of them were saying that, you know, you're Jeremiah's and you're Elijah. You know, Elijah was the prophet of the world, was a great and wonderful leader. And the anointing, this man did great and miraculous things. He said, some said you're Moses. Jesus quickly told them, he said, I was before Moses was. Now, chronologically, if we were to look at the calendar and the measurement of days and standard of years and the scientific aspect of the explanation, we couldn't even understand that. So this gives enlightenment to know before anything was concrete and evident in the physical realm, the spiritual realm governed the existence of things that were spoken to fruition and manifested on the natural realm. So when God said to Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, let us make man in our own image. He's there. So that lets you know you can't separate Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, from God the Father, Yahweh, creator of all things, the master of the universe. You can't separate them. This is what Jesus said. This is the part of the mystery. I and my Father are one. You see me, you see my Father. And no man cometh to the Father except by me. And remember when Jesus said in the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter of John, I believe, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You remember that? So he's giving intertwining relativity right there. And that is John, the 15th chapter. He said it. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman takes care of the vine. He prunes the vine. You know, he chastens it. He makes sure that there are no prolific evidences of something that's going to limit the capacity of that vine to produce a noteworthy crop or fruit. He makes sure he prunes it. And pruning is never easy. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. See? So you can't separate Jesus from God. They're all together. They're unified. And this is what Apostle Paul was bringing up. Here's the mystery. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That means by all seen and not seen, by all present and body And even those present in spiritual mind will understand that God is sovereign. He cannot be compromised. He is the master of all things, both great and small. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, then we got the anointing coming first, Christ Jesus. So you see Jesus Christ, and you see Christ Jesus. That means the power is operating full propensity straight ahead. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That means through the very essence of his existence, through his miracles, through his power, exonerated by God the Father. He gave all things into the hands of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. And unto Jesus, the author, that means the very epitome of our existence, of our pillar, of our faith, and the finisher. That means he's the writer. He's designing the book. He's put the copyright on it. And the finisher means the person who completes the book. He does the editing. And anything that is not in direct modification, he makes sure the modifications are done because he has that authority. So outside of God the Father and Jesus Christ, everything else comes behind. That's the reason why God doesn't want us worshiping angels. He doesn't want us worshiping apostles, worshiping other believers, calling them saints and putting them on pedestals. No, there's only but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And we are to be true to the efficacy of our calling. And at the same time, make our calling, our summoning. When I call you, I'm summoning you. I'm directing a message to you. Certified and bona fide. That means it has to be legitimate in the eyes of God. Not the eyes of man, because man will sometimes be deceitful and do things that he thinks is going to be beneficial to him. No, according to the eyes and the foresight of God, it has to be in alignment with his word. And whom we have boldness and confidence and access with confidence by the faith of him, wherewith I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. What he's saying, I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I don't need you to say, oh, look at what Paul's going through. Because Paul already knows. His eternal security was already designated to him. That these temporary uprisings and these conflicts because of his past, a lot of this was because of the past that Apostle Paul had when he was Saul of Tarsus. That was his original name. He was a high-ranking official in the Roman army. And so a lot of the consequences that he experienced was because of people was somewhat bitter toward him for the things he had done in the past. But the scripture says, he that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So they had to come to the realization factor that this is a new man here. This man is about the business of God. He's not a spy. He's not a henchman. He is in the vineyard working while it's yet day, because he knows when his nighttime comes, he won't be able to labor and won't do it effectively. He said, with this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, he's acknowledging God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he called him Christ Jesus our Lord, now he called him the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't separate them. They're all in the same family, the heavenly family, the majestic family, the sovereign family, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're joint heirs to the throne. We're a part of that family. And that's the reason why he told Peter, whatsoever bind you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Why? Because we're in the same family. When you are obedient to God, to his word, trusting in him, praying in the Holy Spirit, walking in love, walking in forgiveness, taking heed to his word, you are unstoppable. You are a miraculous presence that can't be hindered. Because when you cry out, God already hears you and he responds to your cry. He said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened and might by his spirit in the inner man. See, the inner man, this is where the channel of energy is. This is the inner man. What we speak, God honors. What we believe, God will solidify. He will manifest it. He said, if you walk in obedience, and you walk in his word, and in the power of his anointing, you will ask what you will, and it will be given unto you. He told us that. That's promise. He told us that God can't change and alter his promises. He wants his own word to perform it. He says that Christ may dwell richly in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. See, love is the key. That's why the enemy comes at us. He wants us to turn away from love and to operate in hate. That's not the will of God. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height. That means longitude and latitude, the very existence of God. His compository is immeasurable because he's infinite. He has no definitive beginning, and he will never have an end. He is life. He is universe. He is cosmos. He is spirit. He is master. He is sovereign. He's omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. Omnipresent, everywhere at every given time. So you can experience this miraculous power. He's talking about how to go in and receive that ability by humbling yourself to the truth and walking in love and to know that the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, worlds without end. Amen. What does Apostle Paul famously said all that? That means to God be the glory for his unlimited power, for his greatness, for his presence, for his miracles. Miracles already taking place. Those that are being made manifest now as we speak. And to those that are coming along the chain, all praise and honor and dominion to him. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. We thank you, God, for your blessing unto us. Seen and unseen, known and unknown, we're asking that the power of your immense presence continue to overwhelm us, that we may walk and go forward, and we will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not get weary. We will walk and not faint, because we wait upon you. And thank you for being a God that watches over your word to perform it. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We thank you. And God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Trust God. Walk in the spirit of love and continue to reap the benefits of his presence. God bless you. We'll see you again later on in the week. You've got your host, Abby A. Thuffnor, the Motor City Maharani, saying that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Be blessed and share your blessing amongst those who are in need. Thank you.